That's interesting. Just waiting for you to come over here today, I was checking my email and saw that the JCO had electronically published the paper from Memorial on smoking history and EGFR mutations that I guess they presented last year at ASCO. I think this whole thing with the smoking status and EGFR, it's just incredible. Can you talk a little bit about what your take is on that whole thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've always believed, or at least thought, that the biology of lung cancer would seem to be different in that the never smoker versus the person who has smoked. And just an easy example of that is KRAS mutations, which are not uncommon in smokers, particularly those who have adenocarcinoma. KRAS mutations are almost never seen in a never smoker who develops lung cancer. And never smokers rarely get tumors like squamous cell or large cell or small cell cancer. They almost always get adenocarcinoma or bronchoalveolar carcinoma. So clearly there appeared to be something unique about this. And it really shouldn't surprise us that those patients who've never smoked seem to disproportionately benefit from EGFR inhibitors.
What's your take right now in terms of whether you think that any of this is sort of ready for clinical application? If you see a patient in a non-protocol setting who, for whatever reason, has had one of these mutation tests on, or EGFR or FISH, will you pay attention to it?
It's hard to know, because some patients who have EGFR mutations don't respond to the EGFR inhibitors. So it's not a perfect, in fact, when the data first came out, it appeared to be about 80 to 90% predictive of response. It now appears to be more along the lines of 30 to 40% predictive. Some data have suggested that EGFR mutations don't predict for survival outcomes. Other data suggest that patients who have the mutations tend to do better, no matter if they're treated with chemotherapy or if they're treated with the EGFR inhibitors. Recent data suggested that if you do FISH analysis looking at gene copy number, that that is also a predictor of response, but it seems to be a predictor of response on the order of 20 to 30%. And it does seem to be a little bit better predictor of survival in that group of patients. Interestingly, the clinical parameter of never smoking seems to be the most powerful indicator for response to this class of drugs. And also the clinical indicator of performance status still is the most important factor to determine survival for patients. And those are not things that are done on the tumor. They're not blood tests. They're just clinical parameters.
I think this is one of the most fascinating things going on in cancer medicine right now. I'd like to pursue it a little bit more. If a patient with non-small cell who's a non-smoker in a good condition, first-line metastatic setting, says to you, what's your best guess of the response rate I'll have to a TK inhibitor or erlotinib, how would you answer it?
That's very hard to know. I would say that they are more likely than the person who has smoked to respond to therapy. The question is, are they also more likely to respond to chemotherapy? Are they more likely to do better just because of the biology of their disease, and perhaps treating them with an EGFR TK inhibitor at some point is reasonable and not necessarily upfront? We really haven't worked out the best way to do things. It may very well be that the optimal survival for that patient perhaps would be to give them chemotherapy upfront, followed by an EGFR inhibitor at the time of progression, versus the other way around. That would be one hypothesis, for instance.